I'm Jenny Galluzzo, co-founder of The Second Shift. Welcome to our podcast where we talk all things women, work, and well-being, how they intersect, our competing forces, and how to create and maintain personal and professional alignment in your life. Let's do this. The Elegant Warrior. I was so caught by that title of Heather Hansen's book because it's about winning life's battles, and we all like to win, and having this like warrior spirit, but with grace and with compassion and with respect for yourself, and how to win battles without losing yourself. And Heather spent 20 years or more than 20 years being a medical malpractice trial attorney. So it's all about like, you have this adversary and you have to figure out how to win. You have a goal, but how do you do it with respect for yourself? And how do you get what you want with confidence and with wisdom, especially in a situation that is tricky? So when I read about this, I thought it was fascinating and I really enjoyed my conversation with Heather. She does a whole program around Advocate to Win. I think that this is such an interesting way to think about negotiation, because we talk about that a lot and how, you know, women aren't good at negotiating for themselves. And we're told that, you know, women don't speak up for themselves. And here's a reframe of it. And I really love reframing negatives into positives, which is the advocacy piece, because we're good at advocating and speaking up when it's in this positive light. And so I'm wondering if like the negative connotation is reinforcing some of the idea that we're not good at something. And so how to learn to reframe it and learn to be good at something that you feel comfortable with already. So I'm going to check it out. And if you're interested, the link's on the bottom of the show page. And I will report back. And I hope that you enjoy this conversation with Heather. I came across your book, The Elegant Warrior, and just the name of it really resonated, because that's in some ways like what the aspiration of women is, right? You want to be elegant, but you need to be a warrior, and balancing those two things, and you using your experience as a trial lawyer, it like couldn't be a more perfect tie-in. So I commend you. And I want to know from you, like, what do you think defines elegance? How do you define it in your terms?
The root of the word elegance is to choose. It's the same root as the word elect. And so I think that's very fitting, because I think for me, elegance might be working really hard to make sure that even if I have to take someone's story, I don't take their dignity. Those for me are the important things that sort of set the foundation for elegance.
I really love that. And I think we're taught as women to go out into the world and be both soft and feminine, but also, you know, you have to be this warrior, or otherwise you're never going to get ahead and you're going to be taken advantage of and you don't negotiate right. And all these things that you're constantly doing wrong, how you can do it better. And so I love this idea, as you say, win life's battles without losing yourself. And that's the piece of it that I think is so important, because when you try to pretend to act like a man or the way to get ahead, you do lose yourself. And I think there comes a time where that reckoning happens. And it's part of the reason why women wake up and sometimes find that they're not really happy with what they're doing, because they're not doing it as themselves. They're like a fake version of themselves in the workplace.
Yes, absolutely right. And I saw that all the time in trial law. You know, less than 5% of trial attorneys are women. And most of the women that I interacted with, most of my cases, there weren't any women in the courtroom. But when they were, oftentimes they would act like the men. And I think that that actually, one of my advantages was I really worked not to do that. And it allowed me to use my empathy and my compassion and my curiosity. You can use your differences as an advantage instead of trying to be like everyone else and think that that's the only way to get ahead.
And what about being a warrior? You were for 20 plus years a medical malpractice trial attorney, which is like going to battle and being in war every day. How do you think of that warrior spirit, and how do you not let it become your personality, but also like take you down? go to war with yourself?
I mean, I don't know that I always did that well. I mean, you know, one of the things I have made a real pivot for the second half of my career. I'm not practicing law. I'm not trying cases anymore. I'm still consulting on some cases, but not even doing a ton of that. Because it does, if you are fighting every single day, it is hard not to lean into the warrior part and forget about the elegance. And I worked really hard to do that. And you asked how I did it. I was very deliberate. I meditated every morning. I did a lot of yoga, worked really hard to be aware of the energy that I was bringing into a room. I was also very aware, and I talk about this in my second book, which is called Advocate to Win. One of the things I talk about in that book is argument. And argument is the last resort. You know, it really is the last thing that you want to get to. And in the courtroom, it's what we do, right? Two sides are battling for one win. But the definition of win that I like outside of the courtroom is from the Cambridge Dictionary, and it's to receive something positive because you have earned it. Most of the time, you don't earn your wins by fighting. And so for me, warrior and argument is the last resort. I know how to slip into it. I know how to win an argument. I know how to use questions to do that. But I always try to use all of the other tools of an advocate: perspective, curiosity, compassion, evidence, energy, empathy, all of the things, so that I don't have to get to that warrior mode, because you do risk getting stuck there. And that is not something that is worth it for me.
I love that. And as you said, in your next chapter, highlighting advocacy, and I really want to understand what you mean by advocacy and how to get what you want through that methodology.
People are constantly saying we need to advocate for ourselves. We need to advocate for what we want. We need to advocate for our bodies. I've been going to a lot of symposiums here in New York City regarding women in midlife, and it's a lot of advocate for your body, advocate for your health. But no one teaches us how to advocate.
Yeah. What does it even mean? It's like, you're like, I'm advocating. I'm doing the thing. I'm standing up for what I want. And you're like, okay, but are you doing, is it getting you to the end you actually want? Or are you just like making a lot of noise?
Well, that's absolutely right. And it's different from communicating. I often say when you communicate, you share perspectives. When you advocate, you change them. And so the way that you do that is, first, you have to know what you want. You have to ask for it out loud and with delight. And you have to master the art of the ask. A lot of women especially don't ask for what they want. And then the resentment, the confusion, the frustration, the anger builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. And then by the time that they actually do ask out loud, they're asking with resentment, anger, bitterness. And that is not an effective way to get what you want. And then mastering the art of the ask. And that's all about seeing the situation from the other person's perspective. How do they see the ask? How could the ask actually be something that is good for them as well, so that they're more likely to want to give it to you? So those three steps, if you can master those, and of course, there's subsets to each one of those three that I teach, and I coach people one-on-one all about how to do this. But those are the three steps to asking for what you want in a way that makes you likely to get it.
Where do you teach it? How do people find this information?
I work with people in a couple different ways. I go into organizations. Yesterday, I went into a big law firm. Tomorrow, I'm going into a venture capital firm and talk to the people who work for them on how to advocate for all of the things that we're talking about. So I do it in big groups. I also do coaching one-on-one. So I'll work with people, usually women, who they usually fall into a couple of camps. They either want to ask for more money, more resources, more investments, or they're ready to make that, just like the name of your podcast, they're into that second shift and they want to make that transition to a different job or a different career, or they're returning to work after having been out for a little while and they want help advocating to get all the things that they want in those new careers. So I coach people one-on-one, and that's, you can find me on my website, Advocate to Win. And then I also do keynote speaking and consulting for organizations.
So we've talked about this a lot, and the idea of negotiation, which is different, I guess, than advocacy, but it's getting to the same goal. It's just maybe using different tools to get there. But it's something that women feel have a lot of issues with and lack a lot of confidence, beyond the fact that they've been told that they're terrible negotiators all the time in like the press. Then it's like self-fulfilling prophecy, because then they get there and they feel this, you know, that they're bad at it and that they're going to somehow do themselves a disservice. So what are some of the steps that you think women can do to be advocates, to negotiate better on their own behalf, to argue better, to set themselves up to get whatever goal they want?
I love this question. And I love, you're so right. Advocating and negotiating are very similar. Negotiating is typically a give and take. I have something, you have something, you know, if I'm buying a car, I have money, you have the car, negotiating. Advocating is a little bit different because what I am giving is more ethereal. It's not something so solid. We actually advocate a whole lot more often than we negotiate. But either way, to your point, we're asking for something that we want and we want to get it. Now, you have said that we have the impression that we aren't great negotiators or advocates, and we do have that impression, and that's a big part of the problem. You know, I often say, if they don't believe you, you can't win. If you don't believe, other people aren't going to believe. Your belief will be contagious and your lack of belief will be contagious. So the first thing we want to do is sort of change the way that we look at ourselves as advocates or as negotiators. And a good way to do that, according to the research, is to externalize what we're advocating for. So for example, there's a lot of great research that if a woman is negotiating on behalf of someone else, she's actually a better advocate or negotiator than a man is. It's only when she's negotiating for herself that she sort of drops down and maybe not be as good. So what I often tell women to do is think about it like you are advocating for something else. What I often like to do is externalize my ideas as if they are things outside of me. So I will think of an idea, like for example, this idea of advocating, I am so passionate about teaching people how to do this skill and how to master this skill so that good people can ask for things in a way that is effective and that serves everyone. I externalize this idea of advocating. So it's not about Heather Hansen. It's about teaching people how to do this thing. And that makes it easier for me to advocate for myself, to get the opportunities, to get the keynote speeches, to get on the stages, to get into the Fortune 100 organizations. Alexandra Carter, she is a well-known female negotiating expert. And she says, and she talked about in this book that when she was first negotiating for a job and she got the money that she wanted without even asking for it, she went to the bathroom and called her mentor. And her mentor told her, ask for more. And that's the name of Alexandra's book. And she talks about how she did that on behalf of her children, her daughters. Oftentimes when I'm asking for more money, I will do it in my head on behalf of my nieces, because the people around us need us to ask for the things that we need that are going to serve them as well. So if we can externalize it a little bit or create some sort of an alter ego, we become much better at asking and negotiating. And then the last thing I'd say is a big part of this is the ability to see things through another person's perspective. It's called cognitive empathy. And women tend to be very empathetic. And so use that skill, the ability to see things from the other person's perspective, so that you can speak to that perspective and help the other person see that you getting what you want is also going to help them to get what they want.
I think it's really great. And also women are, like you said, that's specific to negotiation as we were discussing, but women as advocates are also so good at speaking up for other people. If they see something that's wrong, if they see some injustice being done, if they think that someone's being left behind or they've done a good job, you know, we're so good at cheerleading others. We're so bad at cheerleading ourselves. And so the idea of self-advocacy and teaching people how to do that and reframing it where maybe the idea of negotiation, something about it like feels very masculine or something, but advocacy feels like something that we're really good at and we're really proud of the fact that we're good at and that it's doable and actionable.
I love that because it really is up here. It's about
what we believe about ourselves.
Yes. What we believe about ourselves, what we believe about what we're asking for. If we are in true belief that what we're asking for is going to serve us and make us better and therefore serve our families, our partners, our friends, our family, our business, the world as a whole, we have become such stronger advocates.
Is there anything else that you think is really vital to get across before we wrap up, just in terms of, you know, pulling all of these things together from your experience working with women, your experience in trial, and your experience advocating for women to be elegant warriors?
I think the thing that I want women, everyone to know, women, men, children, everyone, is that no one can advocate for you better than you can. You know, we often want to outsource this, like someone else should stand up for me. Someone else should ask for what I want. Someone else should do the thing. No one knows your talent, your passion, your needs, your wants, your heart and your mind better than you do. And so take that knowledge, have belief in your ability to do it, and start taking on the fact that this is a skill that you can learn and you can master and you can get good at and you can start collecting your wins.
I think this is so awesome. It's something that I think I could be much better at, and it's something I've learned to be better at as I've gotten older. And I really applaud you for pointing this out. And I can't wait. I'm going to go immediately buy your book on advocacy and read it. I think this is just a great angle to talk about something that we all feel a little bit either cringy about or ashamed about and want to lean into and get better at. So thank you.
And it's my life's work now to help people do that.
I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you for being on the Second Shift podcast. It's a pleasure to meet you. And thank you for doing what you do for women and society in general. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. For more, you can follow along at thesecondshift.com. Please rate, review, subscribe, and help us make work work for you and for all women.